This message is brought to you by 12 Stone Church. Today, Pastor Kevin Myers delivers the 5 campus vision. Should you need additional information, please go to 12stone.com. Here you will find many resources, including this teaching, in both audio and video formats in the media section. There is also an extensive archive of past teachings. We hope this serves you well. Please enjoy.
Pioneers. Do they still exist? Or have they become a myth?
See, it's always been about one empty chair. From the beginning of the church, it was just opening up the doors to one empty chair, to reach one empty life, in hopes that they would be filled with the love of God.
Those who fight the gravitational pull of ordinary, who push past bystanders and barricades to a distant horizon they can see in their mind's eye.
People get stuck and caught up in their physical surroundings, the building, the comforts of those buildings. But the reality is our church is made up of unbelievable people.
Every time we open up a new campus, build a new building, we know that we're opening up more seats. We put in empty seats in order to reach empty lives, that they might be filled with the love of God.
Part of a campus launch is for everybody. There's a place for everybody to fit, find their space. It's different than when you're at an established campus. You kind of feel a part of this team that's really, you know, making something happen here, and I think that's significant.
I come in at 5 o'clock and help with tech team. Then I pray over the seats, and then we set up the rooms.
Everything gets unpacked. Everything gets packed up at the end of the day. And we unload those cases and roll them to their respective areas. We set up, you know, nursery and two-year-old rooms and 3 to 5-year-old rooms and stage 12 as well.
Tonight is the beginning of something God has always wanted to do that he has yet to do in this church. And you are the core group. You are the people God intends to use.
I felt excited to be a part of expanding God's kingdom in being here.
You're doing kingdom work here. You're doing God's work, and that's the best encouragement I can give anyone.
God said, blow the trumpet. That's it. And he said, what Gideon did when the Holy Spirit came on him was he blew the trumpet, and he said to the nation of Israel, you have a call of God on you. It's time to step up, pick up your sword, and fight for the kingdom of God. Go change a life.
It's impacted me with seeing a whole different side of what it is to be in the kingdom of God.
I think one of the coolest things was just getting to know all of the people in the community that we built.
Coming together and getting to know each other and building a community was incredible. It's worth every moment of getting up early.
When you're called to do something like that, I think that you look around you, you're going to see great leadership that's going to pull you into those situations. I think it's just, I would encourage you to do it for sure.
This right here is where your Christianity is put into action.
These are the pioneers. Are you one?
My bad. Good morning, 12 Stone. It's great to see you at 11 o'clock. I have been fired up to share this 5 campus vision with you. You've been fired up? Are you fired up to get this? I mean, are you ready to receive this? I can't tell. Can't tell yet. Not yet. Can't tell yet. I'm going to give you one more chance. Come on. It's 11 o'clock. You've had time to wake up. You've had your coffee. God had this next and new for the nation of Israel. He was about to take them out of 40 years of wandering into the promised land. That's what we find in the book of Joshua chapter 1. It's a great story. God had better and bigger for the nation of Israel. But how? How do you grow into your next and your new? See, God often has a next and a new for you in your personal life and in your faith. How do you grow into your next and new? God often has a next and a new for his church, for our church. How do you grow into the next and the new? Well, the journey of Joshua and the nation of Israel, their story in the book of Joshua gives us some clues They are insightful for your own personal life, and they are instructional for us as a church. And there are three things that you have to lead through. Grab your teaching notes. I'm going to take it to the whiteboard. You fill in the blank. Let's go get these together. There are three things that you have to lead through. You have to lead through the things you know. Write it down in your notes. You have to lead through the things that you know, the things that you don't know, and the things that you know to do. Say them with me, everybody. Let's say all three in a row. You have to lead through three things: the things that you know, the things that you don't know, and the things that you know to do. Now watch. You could actually list these as the things that you know are more the absolutes. These are the things God has made clear, and because God's spoken them, you know them. This is kind of like the visions God gives and the confidence and the clarity of priority in life. There are absolutes. But then there are things that you don't know, and that's the ambiguous. And oh my goodness. Oh, we wish there were no ambiguity, but there is. Then you have to lead through the things that you know to do. And these are the actions. The absolutes, the ambiguous, the actions. You got to lead through the things you know, the things you don't know, and the things you know to do. Now, I can apply this to the life of the nation of Israel, and we find it in Joshua chapter 1. You can grab your Bibles and turn to page 213, and I'm going to identify these things as examples. They were there to take new territory, to take new territory. They were there with the confidence that God was with them. You'll see that in the story. And they knew the priority. It had to be God first. These are just examples of the things that they knew. If you've turned over there to the book of Joshua chapter 1, let's see. They were there to take new territory. Here's what I mean. Chapter 1, verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. God talking to Joshua. Now then. You, that is Joshua, you, Joshua, and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. Even look at verse 4. Your territory. Your what? Territory. You're here to take new territory. Now, there's another thing that God identifies, and that is that God is going to be with you. This you can know. You'll know it. Look at verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you. Will be with you. Say it with me. Will be with you. You're not on your own. God's going to be with you wherever you go. You keep looking in the book and travel along over to verse 4, or chapter 4 rather, a couple pages later on page 217, and he identifies, now make sure that you know, because it's got to be God first. It's got to be what? God what? Oh, it's got to be God first. See, he talks about when they move into Jericho, that Jericho is going to be the first city of many cities God gives them. And because it's the first city, then that city is the Lord's. Everything in the city is holy unto the Lord. The first redeems the rest. We've been talking in the blessed life that the first, the tithe, the principle of the first redeems the rest. So all of that city, everything in the city is God's. So verse 17 says, the city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Keep away from the devoted things. Verse 19, otherwise you will make the camp liable to destruction. All the silver and the gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into the Lord's treasury. See, the men and women, there are things that we know. Unfortunately, when we're going to our new and our next, there are also things that we don't know. God leaves ambiguity. In other words, have you ever noticed God leaves blanks unfilled? Have you ever felt like God has been giving you direction in your life, but he's leaving some blanks unfilled? There are things that you don't know. Anybody ever feel like there are things you don't know what God's doing and how he's going to do it? Keep going. Keep getting your hands up here across campuses one more time, because I want you to see you're not alone. And doesn't that drive you nuts? I mean, you know God knows, but God won't tell you. Really? Just tell me. I want to know. And God says, no, I'm going to leave it ambiguous. See, they didn't know how they were going to cross the Jordan. God just said, go to the Jordan. Hello? How are you going to make that happen? Go to Jericho. They didn't know how they would take Jericho. There are things in your life that you don't know. See, there are things that you know, There are things that you don't know. When God is taking you to your next and new, there are things that you know, things that you don't know. And thirdly, there are things that you know to do. Things that you know to what? Do. You got to take action. Listen, there are things you got to take action on in the midst of ambiguity. See, the nation of Israel, Joshua told them in chapter 1, he said, now here's what you're going to do. In 3 days, you're going to pack up camp and you're going to go to the edge of the Jordan. Okay. But I don't understand what we're going to do when we get to the... I'm not telling you. I'm not filling in the blanks on the ambiguity. I'm telling you, these are the things you do. It's good leadership. Everybody pack up. There are things that you know to do. By the way, if you know that story, they went to the edge of the Jordan. It was at flood stage. There's no way for them to cross it. And what does God do? As soon as the priests with the Ark of the Covenant step into the water, God makes the water stop. It heaps up a good distance away, and they walk through on dry ground. Woo! Amazing story. Then, keep listening. Then what God does is he tells Joshua, take one representative from all of the 12 tribes and send each one of the 12 back into the Jordan before the priests come out in the middle of the Jordan and pick up a stone, one stone each, which would be 12 stones, come up out of the water. Some of you are catching on. And make a memorial and stack 12 stones, and those 12 stones will be a memorial so that every time somebody asks what those 12 stones mean, you can tell the old story of the power and the faithfulness of God, which will give people courage for the next and new story that God wants to do. Once you know the old stories of what God has done, you have courage for the new story. So in Joshua chapter 4, if you're still sitting there, over in verse 24, is where 12 stone drew its name. In fact, our purpose reflected in verse 24 of Joshua 4. God did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. 12 stone exists so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of our God is powerful and that they might turn to revere him, that people might know God. Hey, church, that's why we exist. Our story is drawn from this experience. But there were things that they needed to know to do because they knew what they should do, even in the midst of ambiguity. Hey, they didn't know how God was going to take down Jericho. They just knew that they had to march. They had marching orders. Now, just briefly, I want you to understand how powerful this is in our lives by looking at where we tend to make mistakes, where we tend to get confused. Watch how this works. We don't have a lot of time for it, but I just want to give it to you. Many times we get confused and we take the things that we know and we put them in the category of don't know. And when you do that, you tend to stall out in your faith. Let me make the point. See, they knew that God was with them. But the moment you get uncomfortable and you break down in your faith and you begin to wonder if God's really with you, and you put God is with me under the don't know category, I don't know if God's really with me. The moment you do that, what do you start to feel? Fear, anxiety, worry. How many have ever felt fear or anxiety or worry in their life? Hands up. Of course your hands up. You know why? Because there are things you can't control that only God can. And God told Joshua, he said, Joshua, I will be with you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Why did he tell him that? Because he knew the tendency to take something you know and slip it down underneath something. Oh, I don't know. Is God with me? I don't know. Yeah, of course he is. This is your confidence. Now watch, equally powerful is when you confuse something you don't know as something you do know. Oh, you see, God didn't tell them how he was going to help them take the Jordan or take Jericho. But you know they speculated, right? You know they were sitting in camp. I don't know how we're going to get across Jordan. You know how we're going to get? Hey, how's he going to take down Jericho? I know. You do? Oh, yeah, I know. I know how God does these things. You do? Oh, yeah? Well, how's he going to do it? Well, remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah when the fire fell? That's what's going to happen to Jericho. The fire's going to fall. Boom, we're never even going to have to draw a sword. You know this? Oh, yeah, I know this. Somebody else, hey, how he's going to do it? It's going to be plagues. Don't you remember Egypt? Plagues, wipes them all out. Yeah. Did God do it either of those two ways? He did not. He did it by dropping the walls with marching orders. Listen. You know what many of us do? Because we don't like blanks. We fill in the ambiguity and start telling God how and when he's supposed to do something, which he never told us. And then we start putting our faith in the plan that we made. And when God fails that plan, we think God failed us, when in fact it was never God's plan. It was ours. Yeah? Hello. And many of us get stalled in faith and say, well, I can't believe God anymore. Well, I don't blame you. You believed him for your plan. There's a lot of pressure to fill in blanks that God hasn't filled in yet. You know where many of us make mistakes? In the third case, when we fail to do the thing we know to do because there's ambiguity. When we say, I'm not going to march. I'm not going to take marching orders. I am not walking around Jericho. We're going to look like idiots. Walk around Jericho. They're going to stand up on there and look down and say, hey, what are you guys doing down there? I don't know. How's this all working out? I don't know. God told us to march. Well, you look stupid. I feel stupid. You know what? There is tremendous pressure on people like me, pastors, to tell people like you everything God is going to do, even by making up fill in the blanks, because many of us won't take marching orders unless I give you all the answers. And quite frankly, that pressure on my life is huge. I made those mistakes in the past. I used to tell us more than God said in order to put timelines and framework and strategy so people would actually join in marching orders. And then when God doesn't fulfill it in the way that we thought, we're all confused. And you know what? I need to back off and only tell you what I do know. And we all need to take marching orders until God fills in the blank, because every vision God gives has some things that we know, some things that we don't know, but there are always things to do. And then when you do the things you're supposed to do, by the time you get there, God ultimately fills in the blanks. And we have to follow with a bit of ambiguity. True, church? See, that's how God gets things done. And I'm telling you, that's what's in front of us. So you can use this for your own personal growth. And you can figure out many times where you stall out, like the nation of Israel did prior to Joshua, back 40 years before they were wandering in the desert because they wouldn't do the things they knew to do because they couldn't figure out what God was going to do. And since God wouldn't tell them how he was going to do it, they wouldn't do it. But I'm telling you, now they're going to break through, and there are things that they know. And there are things that we know as a church. In fact, we have a vision. We're supposed to take new territory. We have confidence that God is with us, and we know that God must be first. I'm going to detail those just briefly so you understand what we're chasing. Let's talk about what God has in front of us as a church. Here we go. There are things that we know. What we know is that we're supposed to take new territory. Ready? We're supposed to take new territory. Now, what does that mean in the New Testament? What does that mean for us as a church? Well, what that means is reaching spiritually lost people, helping them find the love, acceptance, and forgiveness of God, bringing them into the kingdom, taking them from spiritually lost to found, that they might be born again. We are God's ambassadors, as though God makes his appeal through us, be reconciled to God. We are in the business of seeing God change people's lives, and we're the people that God uses. This is what we get to do. We get to watch the most powerful thing of spiritual birth happen in people's. That's what it means for us to take new territory. That's why we add services. That's why we add campuses, and we're going after 5 campuses. How many, church? 5 more campuses on top of what we already have. Why? Because we are here to take territory, see God change lives. Now, from time to time, the pastors will get together here at the campus pastors, and we'll talk about life change. Kevin Queen from Hamilton Mill was telling one story. I think it's worth a moment to listen to the why we do what we do. Here's a story, cool story of life change. Listen in.
7 years ago, Tony and Jane Webb were part of the 180 pioneers who helped launch the Hamilton Mill campus. And in the early days, we would have conversations about Tony's family. He really had a burden for his family to come to know Christ. And in 2012, they were having some major family challenges. And his brother and sister and Kay, they came to the church and started attending and started visiting it. But Mark, Tony's dad, never attended. He never walked through the doors. In fact, he would just work on the weekends. He'd go to work on Sunday when the rest of the family went to church. And there was one weekend that Tony's son, Micah, I think he was 9 years old, he asked his grandpa. He said, Papa, so why don't you ever go to church? And Mark said he didn't have a good answer for him. And And so that next week, Mark came to the church. He walked through the doors, and he told Tony, he said, I don't think I've ever felt peace like that. He just kept talking about the peace that he got when he walked through those doors. And he came week after week after week. And then Easter 2012, the gospel was presented, an opportunity was given for people to come down and receive Christ, to walk across the bridge. And in that moment, Tony said he was praying so hard for his father. He says, Dad got up. And when his dad got up, Kay got up, and his brother and his sister got up. And they all walked down and received Christ on that day. And I heard like a celebration going on in the back of their mind. We know that heaven celebrates, but I heard a celebration, a party going on. I mean, Tony and his wife Jan were cheering, and there were tears. God had answered their prayers, and God's done amazing work in that family, transformational. While after that, Mark and Kay were both baptized. And now, every week I'm reminded of the work that God did, because Mark serves as an usher on Saturday nights, and he gives people a bulletin, and he makes sure that every person has a seat, because Mark knows the power of a seat, the peace that Christ brings, and that seat has the potential to be the place where someone's life is changed, just like his.
Come on now, that's just a great story. It's why we do what we do. It's why we would add campuses. And let me just remind us here. What you just heard is one story. It's how many stories? One. Now, I want you to multiply one times 2,060. Why? Because 2,060 people just at Hamilton Mill, Flowery Branch, and Sugarloaf, just those three campuses, and the short time that they have been in existence, have seen 2,060 people come to Christ just at those three campuses. Isn't that unbelievably awesome? Thank God. Now, get this, you ready? Now imagine if we had not done those campuses. Imagine we say, no, we're not going to be a multi-campus church. We're not going to add campuses. See, there would be thousands of people who would not be listening right now, nor would they be in the kingdom. That's how powerful this is. Now imagine that we do go add five campuses, and the number of stories of life change that are in the next and the new of what God would do if we would go get this together by the grace of God. Listen, I want to make sure we're clear on this. Maybe just a little pause. Spiritually lost people matter to God. Some of you sitting right here are spiritually unresolved. You have never said yes to God. You're not even sure what you believe. I cannot tell you the intensity of God's love for you, the depth and breadth to which he has gone and will go for you to know him. And as one of many churches, we are carriers of this. We were once lost too. Now, church, I know we can get kind of weary. Over 10 years ago, I shared this story. It's in the book. I'm public. I can't hide it. That I hit a season when I'm like, dear God, really, how much more? When is enough enough? I mean, we've reached enough people. Really? How many more people do? How many more seats do we have to add? We were in the process of considering moving into this space here at Highway 20 at Central Campus, and just the weight of leadership stuff. And I was probably weak, and it was not one of my better moments. And I said to God, really, how much longer do I have to do this? And in those moments, God graciously said, just write down the names of your three kids. And at that time, I had three, not four, which shows you how God can add whenever he wants. And so I wrote down the names of Joshua, Julissa, and Jake. And then God gently whispered, now circle two. And said, and those two will go to heaven. And the third one will not. And I just broke down. And I said, never, God. You give me three kids, you take three to heaven. Never. And as I wept before the Lord, and it just undid me. And he whispers back, so Kevin, when two out of three are okay for you, two out of three are okay for me. Now you go reach spiritually unresolved people like they're your kids, and we won't have to have this conversation again. Spiritually lost people matter so greatly to God, and he loves them like you love your kids, and they are his lost kids. So you keep yourself tender before the Lord. I don't know what story you need to settle in your soul to know why we're going to do this, but this is the why. Yeah, church? This is the why. Because they matter to God, and we are going after taking new territory. And this is not all on us. God is with us. It isn't like all this pressure is, now we're going to go do 5 campuses, all the pressures. No, this is all the passion, and God is with us. And God has to be first. God has to be what? First. Some of you have wondered if with the uniqueness of the Blessed Life season, if we forgot a tradition, which in such a traditional church, to miss a tradition is a horrible thing. And you wondered if I had forgot or if we would skip a tradition. And I want you to know that we have not, and that we are going to enjoy it in this moment. And some of you know what this tradition is. Others of you are about to be grafted into the body of 12 Stone Church. This is almost paramount to the stacking of the stones. It's so significant. When Jade and John, my fourth, was 2 years old, we were going into the movie theater, and we got together all the things that you have to for enjoying a movie, the popcorn, the soda, Skittles. Jade and John got a cup of Skittles as a two-year-old, so we took out the second mortgage and bought all that and moved into the theater. And we're sitting there having a great time in the movie, and in the course of the movie, the little two-year-old's next to me snuggled up, and he's just eating his little Skittles, and so cute. And then I just lean over during the movie and just say, hey, man, I think I'd like to share a Skittle. And when I did, you would have thought I took a knife and drove it deep into his thigh, into the bone. He let out a scream. No! Mine! People literally, I mean, just the majority of the theaters turn around looking back. They're like, is there child abuse? I'm like, not yet, but it's about to happen. Man, I looked at that little boy and I'm like, what is wrong with you, you little imp? You know how your spouse comes right out of your kids and you're, oh no, that's not what I mean to say. But you know what I'm saying? That just something comes out of me. You're like, man, I wanted to grab that cup and just chug him. See, in that moment, Jaden forgot some things with his father that we sometimes forget with our Heavenly Father. When it comes to our Skittles, our little material possessions, our money. See, Jaden forgot that I was his provider. I am the hookup. I'm the man. It's how he gets Skittles. Man, you want to keep it good between us. He forgot that I don't need his stinking Skittles. Listen, I'm not a man of means, but I could have put a bathtub of Skittles in the house, make him sit there and watch me bathe in them. I could chug them, throw them up, and do it again. I mean, I don't need his stinking little Skittles. Third, he forgot that if I want them, I could take them. I might not be able to take you, but I could take a two-year-old. But finally, he needed to know that he has to willingly share them because it affects our relationship. See, it determines how tough and tender he is toward me. And I'm telling you, your response to your Heavenly Father and how you return to him and share with him what he gives to you marks your life. Jesus said, be on guard. A person's life does not consist in the abundance of their possessions, their Skittles. But we live in a world that's kind of in a Skittles kind of competition. And we collect them and hoard them, hide them, find security in them. Think the one with the most Skittles wins. We flaunt them. God teaches us how to share them. So, I wonder, I brought a few Skittles right here. How many people like Skittles? I can't hear you, so. No, that wasn't good enough. How many people like Skittles? Let's try one. Let's just see if we can get a little distance on this thing. Yeah, not too bad. Now, my mama taught me when I was growing up that if you're going to share, bring enough for everybody, right? So we have Skittles for everybody across all the campuses today. So the ushers are distributing them. Skittles for everybody. That's right. Everybody gets to have some Skittles. And by the way, yeah, that's right. You can be excited because sugar's coming your way. So that's all right. You can get excited about this. Everybody, all the campuses. Now let me explain something to you. Skittles are coming. You take one, you pass it down the aisle. Everybody gets some. Now, when you open the Skittles, hey, you got to stop when you open the Skittles. You don't just open them and just start cramming them in your face. Okay, ready? You open your Skittles and the first Skittle fruit flavor, set aside. Because the first fruits is the Lord's. And you're going to put that in the offering at the end of the service as symbolic of first fruits. Now listen. Don't go digging for a yellow one right off the top. You get a grape or a cherry, that's the first one. That goes to God. The best goes to God. Now, here's good news. Jade and John, when he turned 4 years old, Jade and John, we were sitting at the movie, same experience, and he leaned over to me with his little Skittles when he was 4 years old, and he said, "Hey, Daddy, would you like some Skittles?" Come on now. That is adorable. See, he had a breakthrough. Listen, church, I want you to know. Today is marking for many of you a breakthrough. Many of you, for the first time on your March 30th paycheck, for the first time in your life, you're going to honor God with first fruits, tithe 10%. And the rest of us just want to say, good for you. Congratulations for honoring God. This is a major breakthrough in your life. And that's going to affect your relationship. See, what we're leaving off here is this, that we know that we're here to take new territory, that God is with us, and God has to be first. Now, with that, there's some things that we don't know. Let me talk about the things that we know and the things that we don't know. While you're absorbing your sugar high, are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Here we go. We want to launch 5 campuses. We want to launch 5 campuses simultaneously. In January of 2015, which means in 10 to 11 months, we want to be one church in 9 locations. Yeah, go ahead and absorb that. That's why you need sugar. It'll help you. See, we want to launch how many? 5 campuses, say it with me, simultaneously. When? In January of 2015. How is that even possible? I'll tell you, first of all, we have a new model. We figured that out. I talked about it on the 25th anniversary. We have a new model with Sugarloaf Campus. They demonstrated that we can send 250 to 500 people. We can send a Pioneer Core team, go into a rental space because it's available immediately, send them in there, build a Pioneer team, and in rental space, we can reconstruct it, reset it, and make it a usable space for a campus. We can do that for a couple years and then move into more permanent space. This actually works. In fact, what we hope to do is send out 5 Pioneer teams from 12 Stone with 5 campus pastors of 250 to 500 people each, which means all of you are part of the 4 campuses. We're going to pick our 5 territories and go get it. We hope to move into rental space that could be like Peachtree Ridge High School that we use there, or a multiple variety of types of environmental spaces that we'll be looking at. And after a couple of years, we want to move into big box long-term lease, and I'll tell you why. We want to move into big box long-term lease after that couple years of rental because we're recognizing that across the country, there are cutting-edge churches, and God is leveraging the repurpose of big boxes where you can go in and construct a church inside those big boxes. They become really beautiful environments, seat 800 people, and go change a community. You can do it at twice the speed, at half the money, and impact thousands of tens of thousands of people's lives and change lives. And we're going to try and go do this over these next few years together and launch them this January 5 simultaneously. And just so you get absorbed kind of in the reality of this, we don't talk numbers much here at 12 Stone, but I'm just going to give you a quick overview. You can't hardly follow, but some of you love this stuff. And that is that we are impacting over 30,000 people a month as a church, which translates into about 15,000 people a weekend right now as we continue to grow. What this literally will allow us to do when we get to the 5 campuses and the 800 seats is it will allow us to impact 60 to 70,000 people a weekend, probably 60,000, 70,000 people a month, and about 30,000 people a weekend, which will be tens of thousands of people coming to Christ. Can you follow that, church? That's what gets exciting. So this is what we're going to go after and chase. Now, there, of course, are things that we don't know. While we know how to do campuses, etc., what we don't know is how everything will come together. Let me take it to the board and explain what I mean. There are things that we don't know. We don't know where the five locations are yet, and I'm going to talk about that. We don't know who of you will be a part of joining a campus, and I'm going to talk to you about that because we have to frame up a decision for how we pick a location, and I want to illustrate how we frame up that decision. First of all four of these need to come together. There needs to be a pioneer team, which is about 250 to 500 12-stoners in that territory who say, man, we'd love to pioneer and go make this happen. Then we need to find a prime territory. That prime territory needs to be a place close enough but far away from a campus that we already have. It needs to be a growing area. Then there needs to be a proper facility. A proper facility means a rental space that we can seat about 100 or 250 to 400 in the facility, and then where we can go to a long-term big box lease. That has to be in the territory. Simultaneously, we need, of course, the power of God. The what? Power of God. Now, all four of those need to come together, and that's how we make a decision to pick a territory. The reality is, this is an art, not a science. So we're very aware of the fact that we can be targeting one territory that seems right, and then God opens up a facility in another territory like he did for Flowery Branch. Flowery Branch was on the list, but what actually helped us trigger the decision is a building opened up at a time and a space that surprised us and became a God opportunity, and so we took that. All of this is an art, not a science. So we're going to have to go after figuring this out over the next few weeks to months, which means that we're very aware that there are things that we don't know. So we don't know the five target areas yet, but we're going to talk to you about it and you're going to be involved. We don't know everybody who's going to be a pioneer. We're very aware of the fact that God's going to have to part waters and drop Jericho type of walls. We're very aware that it's possible we could hit January of 2015 and only plant four that month and plant the fifth one 6 or 8 months later. That's fine. We don't care. We're going to let God navigate the ambiguity and fill in the blanks as we go, but we're going to go get this as a church. That said, this is pioneering, not engineering. Oh, that was good. This is pioneering, not engineering. Say it with me. This is pioneering, not engineering. And so you ought to tell your neighbor, I hope you're ready for an adventure. Go ahead, tell him. I hope you're ready for an adventure. Hope you're ready for an adventure, because that's what we get to go do together. And I'm not telling you, the board isn't making some promise, and myself and the elders, oh, this is all going to happen January without you. No, no, we're going to go do this together, learn this together, have a ride together, which means that while I hope you get fired up, I also hope equally that we roll our sleeves up, because there are things that we need to do. We have marching orders. How does this come together? I'm going to tell you. Now, hear me. Everything I've just said and everything I'm about to say is all on one website that you can go home, get on, and absorb the amount of information that you cannot absorb in me speaking in these moments. So just know that we have it detailed for you, but I'm still going to highlight. What are we going to do right now, the end of March through the end of May? What do we do? The most important thing we're going to do is pray. The most important thing we do in the next 2 months is what?
Pray.
Let me tell you what I mean. This is on the website. And here's how we're encouraging you to pray. Pray about being a pioneer. In other words, you can literally go on the website and indicate, put your name information, and say, I'm interested in being a pioneer in this particular territory or these two areas. Let us know. It's not an obligation. It's an indication. This is going to help us while we pray. Pray about whether or not God wants you to be a pioneer. Look, it's going to take 250 to 500 people per location. Multiply that out, and guess what? That means it's going to mess with the whole of 12 Stone. We're going to end up having 1,500 to 2,000 people sent out to plant five campuses. It's going to mess everything up all at the same time. It's going to be awesome. And you're either going to be somebody who is going out, or you're going to know somebody who is, or that means it's going to leave about 1,500 to 2,000 holes in serving in all of the four campuses we already have, which means a whole bunch of you are going to have to rise up and become new players for the kingdom. In other words, cool stuff is going to happen in the church, and God's going to reset us. It's going to be fun everywhere. So we got to go pray. God, do you want me to be the pioneer? Eventually, do you want me to be the one that helps step in and fill the role? God, how do you want to do this? Secondly, you need to pray for the locations. Pray over the what? Locations. Well, where are they going to be? We don't know. But what we do know is that we have 10 targets that we're praying over. And on the screen, they're going to put the map of the four that we already have and the 10 areas that we're praying over. If you'd like to know what the 10 areas are, we'll just put them on the map. They include Snellville is one of the options we're praying over. Lilburn is one of the options we're praying over. Loganville and Grayson. Bethlehem, Winder territory. Up in Athens is an option we're praying about. Brazelton, we're praying, and Chateau Alain. Jefferson is one we're praying over. Gainesville is one we're praying through. The whole Buford, Sugar Hill area we're praying about, as well as the Johns Creek area. Well, now there's our 10 areas that we're praying about going to. Which of the five will it be? Don't know yet. We're all going to be praying about it. I didn't say for you to vote on it. I said we would be praying about it. Also, you need to be praying for future campus pastors. We're in the process. Where there is no campus pastor, there is no campus. And we've been working on that and will be. We're going to pray for rental space. And you think, oh, I got some information in our territory. Good. Get on the website because right there you can send us information you have about potential rentals and the like. That will help us. Good. Let's get it out. Let's see what we can learn. You also need to pray toward the $3 million we need to raise, which is what's going to launch these campuses. The $3 million. How much? $3 million. So above the tithe, we got to raise $3 million. How do we do that? Well, we can all give to campus expansion offerings. That's a designation that sits on the envelope or you, when you give online. But let me say this. Many of you are breaking through to honor God with first fruits. First time you're honoring God with tithe. Don't you accept the pressure of this. You break through and honor God with tithe. Now, we're not adding to that and putting pressure on you. There is no pressure. It's an invitation. Many of us who've already learned to honor God with tithe and God's favor on our lives, we have discretionary options to give. And this would be a wonderful thing to give to. Listen, I know many of you, hear me, many of you, part of 12 Stone, have options to give well beyond the tithe. And it becomes giving then. And this is a season God's going to ask and tap on your shoulder. I want to tell you that there is a group at 12 Stone, newly formed, called Gideon Group. Marcia and I, my wife and I, started the group. It's a group for people who want to give to campus expansion, but more particularly make a commitment to do this consistently. It's just a volunteer group of people at 12 Stone. It's open to anybody and everybody. It's nothing exclusive. It's wide open. As people who pray and serve, but simultaneously say, you know what, I want to give to the vision capital of 12 Stone to get us to the next level of what God is doing. And you can get on the website for that, and they put it on the screen, or it's also on the main website, and it'll link you to it. It's also in your bulletin. So if you're among those who think, oh, I would like to know more, you certainly can, and you're invited. We'd love to have you join us in that effort. But all of us can be a part of it. Now, through the next couple of months, what we're doing is praying. But when you get on the website, you're going to see the next major thing is happening May 17th and 18th, May 17th and 18th weekend. Guess what we're going to do that weekend? On that weekend, the end of May, I would like to share with all of us at the services the five locations. So we'd like to have made decisions over the next couple months and announce the five locations on that weekend. We'd like to introduce the five campus pastors or those we have. We'd like to officially launch the campus expansion offering, though you can give to it anytime, and many people already are. But there is a website. It's in your teaching notes, in the bulletin, and that will link you to everything that I'm saying and systematically walk you through everything that we're doing in the next year so you're fully informed. Well, while I say that, I know some of you are thinking, my goodness, I want to know more, and you can't tell anymore. How can we get the more information? I got to have more. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to produce a 30 to 45 minute information video. I'm going to get in the studio and just teach it. We're going to put it online on this website, and I'm going to answer the question, how do you win a five-campus vision? And I'm going to go the next layer. For some of you, that's how you're going to be able to breathe and say, okay, thank you, that'll help me. Others of you are like, I don't need that. I know what we're doing. I'm in. Let's go. That's fine. Whoever it serves, this is going to be helpful to you. Now, grab your Bibles. Here's what I love about what Joshua does at the end of the book, Joshua chapter 23. It says in verse 1 of 23, page 235, after a long time had passed and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua by then, a very old man, which is where I'm headed. By the time we get done with this after a few years, I'm going to be a Joshua, very old man. Verse 9, he goes on, the Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. So this day, to this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord God fights for you, just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. Do you know what Josh was doing? We started out and we had Joshua here at the beginning of their next and their new, and it was right at the initial season when God was going to use him into the promised land and cross the Jordan. And now we're way down here, and Joshua is talking about all the old stories that have happened in between and how God has given tremendous favor. And he's telling the old stories in order to give courage to the present group to go after the next and the new. Because while God has old stories of his miraculous hand behind you, that is the confidence and courage to go after the next and new that God still has in front of you. Church, we have a next and new in front of us, but we have old stories that encourage us. Like the old story when we were in our very first building. We were only running about 750 people in multiple services. It was only a 10,000 square foot environment. Only 10,000 square feet. Seated about 250 people. We were jammed out in services. We had nowhere to go. We had no money. God put it on my heart to look at a piece of land out on Highway 20. Let's expand. Let's reach more people. Let's expand seats and services. More people into the kingdom. More stories of life-changing salvation. God, how do we do this? We have no money. I felt like I needed to go speak to the person, whoever it was that owned the land. I didn't know the person. However, I didn't have the courage to do it. And eventually, I'm at a golf game one day, and a friend bought a friend, and I found out that this friend lived at that location. His name was Doug Edwards. Eventually, I connected with Doug and over a donut said, Doug, you know what? I've been looking at your land and I think it'd be a great place for a church. He just looked at me and smiled. He was an old, elderly gentleman. He said, Kevin, you couldn't afford it. I said, I didn't say I wanted to pay for it. He said, it'd be a great place for life change. And he kind of brushed me off like he would a little puppy. Go on, go, 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 bye-bye. Okay. Well, after several weeks and months of this, I asked Doug for permission to just walk on his land occasionally and pray. And he said, sure, have at it. Mistake. Because I'm asking God to put it on Doug's heart to make that land available for the kingdom. Eventually, Doug feels that. And he calls me up and he says, I'd like to meet with your board. Now, Doug goes to another church at this time. And I'm like, my goodness, this would be awesome. He says, I've come to a price. I want to share it with you and your board. So I set up a meeting for the board. And I told the board, Doug's going to come. But here's what I'm praying. I think it's going to be a miracle kind of thing, kind of like a Jericho kind of story, kind of like a party in the waters. I think Doug's going to walk in and give it to us free and clear. And the board sits there silent. And the vice chairman of the board looks at everybody else and he goes, hey, does anybody want what the pastor's smoking? Not because that's what we do in our board meetings. But because it means you're high, what are you thinking? God's not going to do it, which really encouraged my faith. And so then Doug, eventually we have the meeting. Doug comes in and we have a long conversation with Doug and he talks about what's going on spiritually in his life, what he sees happening at 12 Stone again. Doesn't even attend the church. And then he opens up a file and he says, I made a decision on the numbers. And he pulls out the deed and he signs it and he says, and the number is free. You guys keep taking territory for the kingdom. And I looked around the room and I went, now does anybody want what the pastor's smoking? Now, that's an awesome story of God's favor. But listen, that's an old story. And God has a next and new for us. And I wonder, are you going to be in on the new story? I hope your answer is yes. I hope your answer is yes. Because as I turn the service over to the campus pastors, here's what's in front of us. It's a season to pray. Get on the website. Literally, get on the website. It almost becomes a place of devotion and prayer for you. Get on the website. Begin to pray. Ask God if he would have you pioneer. And let's go get this five-campus vision that God has for us based on the things that we know, knowing that there's ambiguity, but we're going to take our marching orders and watch God do great things. Yeah, church? May God do this for us. So let's bow our heads together in prayer. Father, these are such exciting things, inspiring things, challenging things. The truth of the matter is, Lord, we don't know how you're going to do all these things. And yet I've been a part of watching you do this for so many years, and many of us have. We've watched you take a small group of people and empower them by your spirit and go out and take new territory. And then they double. And then we've watched you do it again and again and again. And here we are, God, and we have the chance to double again, so to speak, just for the sake of new stories. More lives changed. Your kingdom advanced. There's more people around us who are lost than are found. Oh, God, you put us here for a reason. You're not done using us for your kingdom's sake. And you're calling us to the next and the new. God, I pray right now that there would be a sealing of this, searing of this in our soul, that we would say before you, God, I want to be in on all that you have for us. God, I pray that you would call pioneers out of our present campuses to go make a difference like you did at Sugarloaf. I pray that you would open up doors to places and facilities. I pray that you would mark and show us the five territories we need to go to next. I pray that you would call up the campus pastors, that you would anoint and call for that season. I pray, God, you'd bring the resources in. And I pray that there would be a mighty move among us of many people rising up as new players in the kingdom. I pray, God, that this would come with such spiritual passion and power. And that at the end of the day, there would be next to new stories over these next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years that would give you such glory and would change all of eternity for the lives of tens of thousands. This is your heart. Make it our heart. Even, Lord, as we give you what is already yours and our offerings in this moment of worship, as a simple basket passes, but we in this offering are saying, thank you, Lord. And some for the first time honoring you with first fruits. It's a huge day. So, Lord, for your goodness and your faithfulness, we give you thanks. And may you be pleased to do in and through us all that you have imagined, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.